Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. And I hope by the end of this conference that you will understand that more than you ever have before. There are so many things going on today prophetically, it's hard to keep up with it. Headlines are always interesting to me. Today, Franklin Graham said that there is an official war against Christians in this country. That's not a surprise to any of us. The last decade that has developed, but we know that in the end times, under the rule of the Antichrist, that Christians and Jews will be the target people. Last week, there was a company that said that they can create a life-type robot that you cannot tell the difference between it and a real human being. That's only been developed here recently. We do know that the book of the Revelation says that the Antichrist will set up his own likeness in the temple in Jerusalem, and people will go there and worship him. That could not happen until now. If I were to ask you, look back on 2015, let's look back for the year. What are the major prophetic developments that took place last year? I hope you're watching headlines. I hope you're watching the alignment of nations. I made a list of 13 or 14 things that came to pass this past year that biblically indicate that we're living in the last days. And that's not even including 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days perilous times are going to come. These most dangerous times we've ever lived in our life. There is more threat of worldwide destruction than ever before in history. Not only is there more threat, there is now the capability that has never existed before. These are perilous times. I made a list. Here they are. First of all, the very first thing that I see is Israel's worsening isolation. 10 years ago, we could not say that because the United States was Israel's greatest ally. We traded military secrets. We gave them much aid. We stood by them no matter what. That has not been true in the last decade. She is standing in isolation. Even our nation has not been a friend to Israel in the last decade. The Bible tells us in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. Zechariah 12, 3 says, God says, in the last days, in those days, I will make Jerusalem to be a stumbling block, a millstone around the necks of all nations. That will include us. People ask, where's the United States in the Bible? We're not there. Because we are going to fade from significance, I believe, because of the way we deal with Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, God developed the whole concept of a nation for himself through Abraham. I will make you the father of a great nation. And in doing that, he said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Nothing has ever eradicated that promise. That is still so. England has failed because of their relationship with Israel. The United States now puts themselves on the other side of the offense with Israel and siding basically with their enemies. And so what we're finding is that Israel is becoming the stumbling block to all nations, including our own nation. The second thing that I saw was that the days of Noah are back. Do I even have to explain that to you? That the days of darkness and wickedness and open evil is here. The third thing is this, there's political disillusionment all over the world. Now, why is that important? Not only in this nation, man, we are so politically confused in this nation. It's so in Germany, it's so in England, it's so in the Middle East. The entire world is politically disillusioned. Why is that important? Because it's setting the stage for the man that has the plan to step up and take care of the world's political system. I'm talking about the Antichrist. And that cannot happen until all nations become disillusioned and they're looking for the man with the plan. Another thing that takes place is that we see the rise of strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says, God will allow a spirit of strong delusion to come across people. We are more deluded now than I think ever before, simply because we're being lied to. You keep your doctor if you want to. This is not about gun control. Well, we're Israel's greatest ally. And the lies just come. So it brings delusion to us. What's true and what is not true? I'm really not sure exactly where all that leads, except that I know that there are blinders that are being established, that it's hard to see truth from dishonesty anymore. Another thing that I see is the decline of the United States because we are not listed in prophecy anywhere. The greatest nation in recent history, and we're not even listed. The greatest missionary nation, the greatest Christian nation, and we're not even there. Because we move into insignificance and probably will be absorbed into the world system as just another European type nation that stands with the Antichrist. Another sign that I saw is that we're setting the stage for Ezekiel 38. We'll talk about that on Wednesday night. What's going to happen in the end days? All the players are on the stage now, especially Russia. One of the main leaders of Ezekiel 38 in the end times, the war of the end times, is that Russia, Gog, will move down upon Israel. Russia is all now, with Putin, all in the Middle East. Headlines today, Syria is receiving weapons from Russia, and Russia says it's because of the United States and Europe that they are there, and they must be there. That's Ezekiel 38. That's only happened in the last year. Also, you have Israel bombing the suburbs of Damascus. Last year, they took out several operations that had factories, bombs, weaponry that was being created. Now, why is that important? Because we know that in the end days, according to Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, Damascus is going to go away and never come back again, which means it's going to be nuclear. It will never be inhabited again. Damascus is one of the oldest continually inhabited cities in the world. And it's going to go away. Israel has been bombing all of its suburbs. And it just takes one of her weapons to make the entire city go away. And if pressed, she will do it in order to survive. Another sign that we saw last year is that Christians are mocked and Jews are fleeing to Israel, immigrating faster than any other time since World War II. Israelites are only safe in their own land. They were not safe in Germany. They were not safe in Russia. They're not safe in any of the 22 Arab nations in the Middle East. They are only safe in the land that God gave them. And they are migrating there faster than any other time in her history because of the anti-Semitism that's sweeping across Europe and sweeping across Russia, sweeping even in the United States. And so we know the regathering of the Jews, that we'll talk in detail about in just a few moments, is happening more now than ever before. Did you realize that a Christian is martyred in the Middle East every 5 minutes now? Every 5 minutes, a Christian is martyred. Many of them by beheading. We'll talk more about this tomorrow night. What part does Islam play in the end days? A great part. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. When I first started studying prophecy about 47 years ago, people would say, because they read in Revelation 6 and they read in Revelation 20, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded under the altar. And most every book I read about that prophetically said, well, they're going to bring the guillotine back. That's what's going to happen then. The guillotine's coming back. But it wasn't until about 10 years ago we saw where beheading was going. And it's common practice today. And it's only been in the last decade that that's happened. Jesus is coming, I'm telling you. The stage is being set more now than ever before. We find that there's a cry for globalism more now than ever before. The Pope is doing that now. Many Christian denominations are calling for that now. Globalism with politics, globalism with finances, globalism with religion. It's all happening now. We've all just got to get together. We've got to get this thing moving. Another sign that we saw last year is that Israel's Temple Mount became a focal point. Because we know in the tribulation period, after the rapture of the church, that the temple is going to be rebuilt. In order for that to happen, then the Mosque of Omar or the Dome of the Rock has to go away. The Temple Mount becomes the focus, which means in time there will be enough trouble there that's going to cause some real destruction that will open the door for the temple to be rebuilt. Another thing that we saw last year was liberal, godless Europe is imploding, and Islam is rapidly spreading, fastest spreading religion in the world today. Headlines today: by the year 2040, it will be the second strongest religion in this country. There are more Muslims in this country than there are Jews now. Europe is gone. 10 million more Muslims are on their way there now. Their goal is Rome. That's headlines today. Another thing that we saw was that the great end time falling away from 1 Timothy 3 is happening. That there'll be a great falling away in the end times. And we see this now in Christian America with the gay agenda. We see it with religious leaders saying that Yahweh and Allah are the same God. And I hope you don't buy that. We see it with churches entering into the entertainment industry more than they are the worship industry. It's all about lights and sound and stage design and those kind of things now in order to attract attention. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people to me. That's in 1 year. That's in 1 year these signs have come to be. Now, one of the things that I know, and I want to introduce this to you tonight, you must understand this if you're going to understand Bible prophecy. You must understand the place that Israel is in it. Israel is the center of all Bible policy, prophecy, all of it. 5/6 of your Bible concerns Israel. That's 83% of the Bible concerns Israel. What we have done in this country, I was guilty of it too in the early days, we tend to Americanize our understanding of the Scripture. But the Bible is a Jewish book. It takes place in a Jewish land. And there's nothing American at all about the Bible. It's Jewish. And we have to understand the place of Israel in the Bible. Now, this is one of the things that Satan uses to distract us. 100 years ago, if you would have said that the Jews are going to be regathered to their homeland and become a nation recognized by the world, you would have been laughed out of your church. There was no possibility that would ever happen, that the Jews would have a homeland again, that they would resurrect an ancient language, Hebrew, and use it as the common language in the streets. That's never happened in history with any civilization or any nation. And in light of that, when prophecy began to be taught and looked at and read, what took place was what we call replacement theology began to happen. People began to look in Romans 11, where Israel rejected and was rejected, and so we are grafted in as Christians. We are grafted into the wild stock. And many leaders, spiritual leaders, said, well, what that means is Israel has been placed aside, and now the church has taken Israel's place in the Bible. That's called replacement theology. 14 of the largest 25 Christian denominations in America believe that and teach that. Most mainline denominations, the Methodists do, the Presbyterians do, the Assembly of God do, the Catholics do, even the Jehovah's Witnesses do, and the Mormons do. And there's a dozen more that teach that Israel is no longer part of the prophetic scene in the Scripture. But Christians, every promise God made to Israel is now a promise to the church, because the church was grafted in and Israel was set aside. That's hogwash and slop, to use Greek terms. What God said to Israel, God said to Israel. Many of them had to start rethinking that in 1948. When God did bring the people back to the land, they did revive an ancient language as the Scripture said that they would, and they were recognized and hung their banner, the Bible uses that phrase, their flag among the nations. But still we teach that Israel has no place. 5/6 of the Bible is about Israel. The greatest events in end time prophecy, especially in the Revelation, if you want to sound intelligent biblically, remember that Revelation is one word, not plural. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Not revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Israel is front and center in the entire book. No other people are front and center like that. Let's go back and review. Where did this nation come from? Where did Israel, the nation, come from? It started with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. God made a covenant with Abraham. I will make you a great nation. Chapter 12, verse 2. Your progeny would be like the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky, and the whole world will be blessed through you. That's a whole nother message, basically centered in Jesus. I will curse them that curse you, and I will bless them that bless you. And it was God's place to build a nation that would carry his name and carry his word. Only two books in the entire Bible were not Jewish written, and that was written by Dr. Luke, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, and he was hanging with the Jewish guys when he wrote those. God promised to bless the friends of Abraham. Still a viable promise today. God promised Canaan, we call it Canaan, God promised Canaan to Abraham from the Euphrates River to the Nile River. They're complaining about the borders of 1967 war now. And man, if we went back to the borders that God gave Abraham, most of the Middle East from Iran to Egypt would be part of that. Israel was promised a return to the land, to gather her from every nation, Isaiah 11, verse 12. From every nation she would be gathered, that she would be fruitful in the land, that the land would blossom under her. I'll tell you more about that in a second. The Bible says that Jerusalem's going to be a heavy stone to the world, which she has become. You cannot read headlines anymore on any day without Israel being in there, specifically Jerusalem. Israel's enemies are identified. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. God told us in the book of Psalms who her enemies will be. And they are there now, making the headlines with her. Israel will survive as a nation. It'll be a miracle of God. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. It'll be a miracle of God when the world moves against her and she's the last man standing, because of the power of God. So let's talk about Israel for just a moment. Let me set the stage. If you don't understand Israel's place, you're not going to understand biblical prophecy. You're going to be all over the map, and you're going to be Americanizing it, and none of that has anything to do with what God's plans are. You have to go back to the concept of the fig tree to understand. Now, we know where she came from. We know her history because the Old Testament talks about her idolatry and her slavery and then returning to the lands, Zerubbabel rebuilding a temple then, and Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, and we know about that history. But let's go to Jesus' day, because this is where it really begins. And Jesus told a story about the fig tree after he had cursed the fig tree. He didn't cuss the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree. There's a difference. You remember he came out to gather figs, and there were none. This is in Matthew 21. He came out to gather figs, and there were none. And in verse 19, he put a curse upon the fig tree that she would wither away. Now, what did that mean? I've heard a lot of preachers preach about that, and this is what they say. If you don't bear fruit, you're going to dry up. It has nothing to do with Christians. Nothing to do with Christians. The Bible always explains itself. If you read something in Scripture, you don't really understand what it is, somewhere in the Scripture it's going to explain that. So what is the fig tree? We know that the nation Israel is God's fig tree because the Bible tells us in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, that God looked upon her as the first fruit of the fig tree. Israel was definitively called the first fruit of God's fig tree. Jesus came to the house of Israel. The house of Israel walked away. The Jews turned their eyes away from him, and he cursed them. Blinders came on their eyes. Israel is not saved today because blinders are on her eyes. Now, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, he's talking to them about the end times. And in explaining how the temple is going to be destroyed, not one stone left upon the other. And then he explains these things, and he came to the parable of the fig tree. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 32 and reading through verse 34, it says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near and at the very doors." So the budding of the fig tree is a sign that the end is coming. The fig tree budded and blossomed May 14th, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in 1948. The fig tree was back on the scene again, and God's fingerprint were all over it. And he says this, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass until all these things are fulfilled." All the previous two chapters, he's talked about prophetic things. Now, again, I heard preachers all my life saying that means that within 40 years of 1948, then Jesus is coming, because that's a generation not going to pass all these things fulfilled. Do you remember the little booklet came out about 1988 and said Jesus is coming that year, and they made millions of dollars selling that book, and he still hadn't come? It was based upon that concept. 40 years is a biblical generation. They were made a nation in 1948. 1988, Jesus is coming because it's his last chance, because he said the generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. It has nothing to do with that. The word generation is, it could be translated this race, these people, the Jewish people, will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. It had nothing to do with a time frame from birth to 40 years old. It has to do with the assurance that the fig tree will be here, that the Jewish people will not perish off the face of the earth through all of what they're going to go through in the end days. When all the dust has settled, the fig tree will still be there. With that in mind, let's do a little history of the withered fig tree. In 70 AD, just as Jesus predicted, Titus the Roman general came through Jerusalem. He later would become the emperor of Rome. And he destroyed the city. He killed 1 million Jews in the surrounding areas. He sold hundreds of thousands of them into slavery. And they pulled every stone off of each of the stones of the temple because it was rumored that there was gold between the stones, that was the martyr. And just as Jesus had foretold nearly 40 years before, not one stone was left upon another. Jerusalem became a pile of rubble at that point. In 632, the Arabs came in and destroyed the Roman temple because the Romans had come in Caesar's days and built a temple to Aphrodite. But in 632, the Arabs came in, destroyed that Roman temple to Aphrodite, and built the Rock of the Dome that is there right now. That beautiful gold-domed, octagon-shaped building that has curses of the toward the infidels written all around the cornices of that dome of the rock. That was in 632. In 1099, the Crusades took place, and they freed Jerusalem from those people, from those Arabs. The Arabs never again ruled over the land since 1099. In 1099, the Crusades freed Jerusalem, and the Catholics ruled over Jerusalem and established many of the holy sites that are there now. But then after that, in 1188, the Egyptian Muslims moved in and took over Jerusalem, and the Christians left. And then the Ottoman Empire, in its power in 1577, the Turks moved in and took control of the area. And there it was for several hundred years under the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire. It was a wasteland. It was destroyed. It was literally raped of its trees and its resources. It became a desert. It became a swamp. It became a wasteland. But then something began to happen. In 1897, a rich Austrian Jew by the name of Herzl Rothschild. You've probably heard the name Rothschild before. They're a very wealthy family in Europe. Herzl Rothschild started what is known as Zionism, which is a move to bring the Jews back to the land of Canaan. He purchased much of the land personally himself from the Turks. And so in purchasing the land, some Jews began to come back. In that day, when World War I started in 1914, there were 13,000 Jews in the land. Within 2 years, in 1916, there were 87,000 Jews in the land because of World War I. When World War I began, Israel was right in the crosshairs, but something interesting happened. In 1916, in World War I, the Allies ran out of gunpowder. and they could not produce gunpowder enough. So there was a Jewish scientist by the name of Dr. Weizmann who invented TNT and gave that to the Allies, and it basically brought about the armistice in November of 1918. So you could say that a Jewish scientist ended World War I. Through the 20s and the 30s, the Arabs and the Jews fought one another in that land. It belonged to no one at that point. As soon as World War I was over, the Arabs attacked, dropped bombs on Jerusalem 3 times with antique bombs and airplanes, and none of them ever went off. And so they used cheap rifles from some of the European nations, and they fired at each other for 20 years. Then something began to stir, and something began to happen. For the first time in 1918, at the end of World War I, General Allenby, a Jewish general from England, was given orders to take the land for England. He came across what is now known as the Allenby Bridge, and he told the Turks that England owned the land, and they left without a fight. It was the only piece of land in World War I that was taken without a fight. It was the first time since Ezekiel's day that a Jew was in charge of what we know as Israel today.